asked me to teach this class on forging for Christ, and so I'm going to be doing a little hands-on today with the girls as we get creative in designing a garden gate based on creation. So that's why I'm dressed the way I am, and I'll be skipping out as soon as I say amen. But church will resume as normal after that. We've put the sermon up front. No amens. Okay. Okay. Well. Okay. Well. Okay. But as we start, I want to kind of talk a little bit about what I'm going to be talking about today and why. And I have a video I'm going to share. How many of you like to be creative? Raise your hands. Raise your hands. Yeah. Did you know that from the ages of 2 to 5 that kids use their brains and they're 90% creative, meaning they're very, very, very creative. But by the time they're 12, they're using around 2 to 5% of their creativity that they used when they were 5. Isn't that fascinating? So, you know, the idea is that today I want to share that God has made us to be creative because He's made us in His image. Amen? We serve a creative God. And, oh, there you go. He's fixing me there. We serve a creative God, and He's called us to be creative as well. Amen? So we're going to watch this short video here, and we'll get started.
Radiology. I had an opportunity to go to Stanford Medical. So I always thought I was going to be in the medical field. And then you put a little leaf on one end, and you twist it here, and you make a little handle that's really pretty, lays back. My gosh, it was like sticking my finger in a light socket. The minute I made those leaves, I knew that was the gift. The most difficult time, I think, was when my father disowned me and de-willed me because of my faith. The Lord has a plan for you. And you can just say, Lord, you have always been there. You are not going to leave me now. I don't see the plan, but help me to look for the plan. And it gives people hope. It gives people hope, and it gives me hope. I was terrified of my parents. Any infraction, you broken glass, you said the wrong thing, you were either backhanded or beaten with a belt. It was terrible. I lived a very challenging young life. But having my father say that he never had me was bitter. It hurts. Well, then my dad switched wives. Well, his new wife just folded me in like one of her own little chickens, and I suddenly had a sister that loved me and two brothers that loved me, and we were really tight, and to this day, and they are, my one brother and his wife are very much Christian. Mama Shirley was such a wonderful Christian, such a big influence in my life because Mama Shirley was there. I'd, I'd send him cards and on his birthday and things for Christmas and that sort of thing, you know. But I was like going into a black hole. I didn't hear anything. And then 1 year after about 10 years, I got involved when I moved down here to California. Got involved in a relationship that got really, you know, didn't work out well, and I needed my family around me. And I wrote a letter to my aunts and uncles and to my dad, and told them what had happened, and told them that I needed prayers. And interestingly, my dad shot a letter back. I hadn't heard from him in years. Shot one back right away. You've always been in my prayers. He opened this door, and we were friends from March, and he died suddenly, unexpectedly, in July. So for 3 months, I haven't been. It didn't occur to me until I was married at 27 and got in with a bunch of everybody was an agnostic, and it was at that turn that I said, oh, you know, I need to do something about this. And the only book really left in the house was the Bible, and so I read that. When I got done reading it, it's just like it read like this novel. And so I really prayed one time out in my shop, and I said, Lord, you know, you promised me that you're going to send me somebody. Well, where is he? And it's a Mercedes, and out gets this man in a suit and two women. They had to go down several roads correctly to get there. And so what they did is they just prayed the whole way, apparently, they said. And they said that they would say, oh, I think we need to go here. Okay, I think we need to turn here, one of them would say. So then they would turn. And one would say, okay, you know, I'm really getting the impression that we need to take this exit. And so they would take that exit, and they would pray along the way. So here comes a pastor and these two ladies, and they made it all the way up to my blacksmith shop on the very day that I said, Lord, please, you promised, you got to bring them. He says, well, I'm Pastor Ellis of the Centralia Church, and they out of PL down in southern Washington. And he said, this morning I just got this impression that I really needed to go somewhere, but I didn't know where to go. And so that was my introduction to the Seventh-day Adventists. Blacksmithing as a ministry for me is just fabulous, because I'm so often called on to go to another state or to another group of blacksmiths and to show them how I do things. So while I'm showing them how to make a flower, somebody always asks me, how did you become a blacksmith? What started? And so then I can tell them, it's a gift. I prayed for it. And I did pray for it. You know, it's like finding what it is you're here for. It's finding what it is you're here for. The purpose that God has given you. Everybody has a gift. For me, it's a way to show people that God exists, that they might not see it in any other way. You know, I think the greatest ministry starts right in the environment that you're in, your house, with your family and people that interact with you. Even if what you do best is that you raise great chickens, there is a ministry among people that come to you for your eggs or that you interact with. And that's what I do with the blacksmithing. I'm really not a door banger. I'm a quiet light. I feel the greatest job that we have on this planet is to be that light for someone with whatever it is you do. And you can just say, Lord, you have always been there. For 40 years you have been there. You are not going to leave me now. I don't see the plan, but help me to look for the plan. And it gives people hope. It gives people hope, and it gives me hope.
Get my iPad set up here. You know, Dorothy is still a blacksmith, Seventh-day Adventist, up by Yosemite, and that's her amazing story. And it's amazing because she loves Jesus with all her heart, and she uses what God has given her to demonstrate and show the love of Jesus and bring people to Jesus. Amen? And I loved what she said. She said, even if you raise what? Chickens? You can raise the best chickens. And you can sell those eggs and meet with those people. And that is a ministry. Because you're coming in contact with people. So I want to get into the message this morning. And let's start with a word of prayer. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you so much for another Sabbath day, Father. A day of rest, a day to reflect, a day to remember that you are the Creator. And Father, we've gathered here to worship you, to learn more about you, and to be inspired, Father. Father, may the Holy Spirit have your way with us this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Creativity. You've either got it or you don't, right? You've either got it or you don't. You're right-brained or left-brained, they say. You're into art or computer science, or maybe you're a painter or a mathematician. And creative folks do creative things. Non-creative folks do non-creative things, like make spreadsheets and money, right? Wrong. We see this clearly in Genesis 1:27, which says this, "So God created man in whose image? In his own image, in the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them." So God, the greatest of all creators, the one who fashioned the sun, the humpback whale, and the Great Dane, made us in his image. And the divine image has been stamped on you and me. So we alone, made in the image of God, and God's given us this glorious task of representing him on earth, of showing the world what our God is really like, of showing the watching world that our God is a creative master who loves to bring beauty out of chaos. Every man, every woman, and every child is creative. Say amen to that. And when we create, it pleases God because he sees us reflecting his image. He sees us imaging him to the rest of the world. God loves to see his image shine through the world, doesn't he? You know, John Piper has a quote that says, "If you are God, your work is to create out of nothing. If you are not God, but like God, that is, if you are human, your work is to take what God has made and shape it and use it to make him look great." Amen? You know, our text this morning that I'm going to go to is found in Exodus. If you have your Bibles or your smartphones, go ahead and go to Exodus chapter 31, and we're going to try to get through this text this morning and read into what it's saying. So here's what it says. It's small on the screen, but you could probably read a little better in your Bible or your phone. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God and with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of," what? "Crafts, to make artistic designs, for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of craftsmanship. Moreover, I have appointed Oholiab, son of Ahishamach of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also, I have given skill to all craftsmen to make everything I have commanded you." Beautiful. So, what is creativity and where does it come from? It comes from God, right? Amen. When God created the world, he created man and woman in his own image. We talked about that. He told them to be fruitful and multiply and rule over all he created. As part of that rule, God gave Adam a job, and the first job was to go and name all the animals. You see Adam being very creative there. He got to name all the animals. This was the first recorded creative act of man. He also placed Adam and Eve in the garden and gave them work to do. This work involved thinking, planning, and decision-making, which are all aspects of, guess what? The creative process, right? And after the fall, we find that mankind's creativity continued, although it was now stained by sin. And in the early chapters of Genesis, we see the rise of agriculture, the building of cities, the forging of tools, and even the beginning of music, right? And so God the Creator is the source of all creativity. And in creating man in his own image, he gave man the gifts to be creative also. So I just want to go over 4 points from this text this morning that I think will help us understand better about these creative gifts and why we should use them, how we should use them, and what is the purpose of them, right? The first thing that we learn from the text this morning is that God chooses to whom he gives these gifts to, right? Now, we hear sermons all the time on spiritual gifts. Literally, I mean, 2-3 times a year probably on the gifts of the Spirit. But what about this? What about the gifts of the craftsman? What about poetry? What about songwriting? What about those? Are those from God? But we don't talk about those. Why don't we talk about those? Okay, that's one opinion. Anybody else have a guess as to why we don't talk about these other gifts that can bring glory to God? They are in the Bible. They've been hijacked. We're going to get into that a little bit. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, 1 Corinthians talks about how all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines about gifts. And it also speaks of gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. But spiritual gifts, as I talked about, are only one example of this. Okay? God is the giver of all gifts, and he chooses which gifts to give whom. So, to some, he gives artistic ability. To others, he gives musical ability. To others, the ability to make things with their hands. God gives his wisdom. He gives you exactly the creative gifts that you need. You think about that. Your gifts are a part of who you are. They're a part of the person that God created you to be. And so we should receive these gifts with thanksgiving and with praise. The second thing is, God gives knowledge, skill, ability, and craftsmanship. We kind of delve into that a little bit. I asked the question, why don't we talk about that? Well, we see in Exodus 31, again, it says, "See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts." I love this in the Bible because it's coming and saying, hey, not only is my Spirit going to lead you to minister to other people with the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, but I'm going to give you gifts in the trades that you go into. I'm going to give you abilities with working with your hands and using your mind to where you can go and make an influence for the kingdom. I think, and I'm going to go out on a limb here, I think that the church should be the most creative organization in the world. Come on now. Yes, get some amens. And yet, we're not. We're scared for a variety of reasons. Oh, we can't do that. We can't do this. That's not possible. And the young kids are, let's try this. Let's try that. Right? You know, I find it interesting that God says, I have filled him with the Spirit of God to do all these things. Because throughout Scripture, we continually find God's Spirit involved in creative acts. When God first created the world, we read in Genesis 1 that the Spirit was hovering over the waters. When God created man, we read in Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. You know, Jesus said, you are born again, which he also called being born of the Spirit. He was referring back to Ezekiel 36, where God said, I have given you a new heart, and put a new spirit in you, and I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. You know, the Holy Spirit is part of all of God's creative acts, and so it shouldn't surprise us that God also gives us our creative gifts through the Holy Spirit. You know, apparently this man, Bezalel, was a master craftsman. He was filled with the knowledge of what needed to get done, his skill and ability to make this tabernacle beautiful was all part of his calling. You know, I think it's interesting. Moses just didn't walk down the mountain and say, "Hey, Bezalel, can you just build a tabernacle? I think you could do it. Who can do this?" No, God knew exactly who could do this. And he empowered this man to build and to create not just an ordinary structure, something that everybody who saw it and glimpsed at it would say, "Wow, that is beautiful." The attention to detail is magnificent. Yeah, God gave me that gift for his glory, for his honor. So my question is, you know, what's your knowledge in a certain area? What's your expertise? Do you have special abilities? Do you have skills that you've been able to develop that are beyond what the average person has? You know, God gives us all creative abilities, amen? And we need to figure out how to use and apply and put into practice those creative abilities for his glory. The third point I want to make is that God gives us a wide variety of creative gifts. Let's talk about some of those gifts. What are some of those gifts that you think? Elmer, what do you think? Hospitality, okay. What else? Organization. Eric, what do you think? Cooking, okay. Music. Drawing. Writing. Yes. You know, the third thing we learned from the text in Exodus this morning is that God gives us a wide variety of creative gifts. In fact, going back to Exodus, looking at verses 4 and 5, when God gifted Bezalel, he gave him knowledge, skill, and ability to make artistic designs in, are you ready for this? Gold, silver, bronze, stone, work, and woodwork, and all kinds of craftsmanship. That's pretty cool. I mean, you know, I wish I had four of those, three of those, two of those, right? But he gave them all. Like, hey, man, just go ahead and build a castle. You know, you could do it. You know, Bezalel wasn't just given one gift, say the ability to work with gold. He was skilled in many mediums so that he understood carpentry and how to work with wood, and he had it all. You know, it's interesting. Verse 5 finally stops listing all his different skills and just says he was engaged in all kinds of craftsmanship. Like he was the contractor, the general, right? You know, when we think of creative gifts in the church, in the home, we shouldn't limit ourselves to just thinking about creative arts like painting, sculpture, writing, dance, design, photography, and so on. Okay? All of human endeavor involves creative gifts and abilities, from a simple setting of the table for dinner to the building of a church. They all involve that. Every person today has a creative gift to use. Every person. It's true. Anytime you put yourself to a task or project, guess what? You are being creative. Right? Anytime you organize or decorate something, you're being creative. Anytime you solve a problem, you're being creative, right? The last point that I want to make this morning is God's gifts have a purpose. And that leads us to the final point. You know, if you look at verse 6, God expands the creative task for building the tabernacle beyond just Bezalel. He says, "Moreover, I have appointed Oholib and son of Hashemech of the tribe of Dan to help him. Also, I have given skill to all the craftsmen to make everything I have commanded you." So we see there that Bezalel received gifts, but then God says, "I've given you a helper, and I've given you all these other craftsmen to help along the way as well." You know, why? The question is, why did God give these men these skills? Why? What were they doing? They were building his tabernacle, right? To glorify God. You know, God gives creative gifts for a purpose. Part of that purpose is simply for us to fulfill our role as human beings made in the image of God. Listen to what theologian Abraham Kuyper says about this. He says, "As an image bearer of God, man possesses the possibility to both create something beautiful and to delight in it. The world of sounds, the world of forms, the world of tints, the world of poetic ideas can have no other source than God. And it is our privilege as bearers of his image to have a perception of this beautiful world, artistically to reproduce and humanly to enjoy it." You know, when you look pre-sin, back in the Garden of Eden, God made all these things, and then he made Adam and Eve, and he said, "Hey, be fruitful, multiply, enjoy what I've given you. See all these trees, see all these flowers, see all these things. Go out and get to know me through them." Because God is the master creator. You know, a strong, biblically based creation theology encourages us as Christians to get involved in all areas of life. Too often, I think, we think of Christianity only in terms of the Bible, prayer, and church. But as important as those things are, the Christian life is so much bigger than that. Christianity is about being human in all aspects of the world for the glory of God. And so that means taking all that God has created in this world and all of human culture and creativity and then returning it to God in praise and saying, "God, you're so good." As Paul says in 1 Timothy 4, "Everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving." Otherwise, Christian faith becomes divorced from real life, and we lose our real influence as Christians in the world. Everybody say, ouch. You know, the best book I've ever read on this subject is a book written by Professor H.R. Rukemaker, which says, the title is Art Needs No Justification. And it's a short little book, 60 pages long. And for me, it was a life-changing book. It opened my eyes to the incredible importance of creation for the church as a whole. Basically, he goes into detail about how the church is supposed to be a creative organism, if you will, organization, of where we show God's glory and talents through us. And Rukemaker talks about how the church lost its influence in the world in the 18th century because it lost an interest in the world that God created. Did you hear what I said there? The church lost its influence in the 18th century in the world because it lost its interest in the world that God created. They were so concerned with what was going on inside the walls of the church and not what was going on in the world that they got out of all those things and they lost their influence. C.S. Lewis once wrote this. He said, "I believe that any Christian who is qualified to write a good popular book on any science may do much more good by that than by any direct apologetic work. What we want is not more little books about Christianity, but more little books by Christians on other subjects." You see, as Christians, we should have things to say about a variety of subjects. We have minds that God has given us to think, to reason, to educate and to use. From Rookamaker's book, here's another quote that I loved, and I'm going to wrap this up. It says, "Very often we've created barriers against hearing the gospel because we preached that we care for people and that this world is God's, but we did not act on those principles. Our lack of care showed that we were not really interested in people or in God's creation. We should remind ourselves that Christ did not come to make us Christians or to save our souls only, but that he came to redeem us that we might be human in the full sense of the word. To be new people means that we can begin to act in our full, free human capacity in all facets of life. Therefore, to be Christian means that one has humanity, the freedom to work in God's creation, and to use the talents God has given each of us to his glory and to the benefit of our neighbors. Therefore, if we have artistic talents, they should be used." You know, this whole weekend here at the girls' retreat that the conference is putting on is about that. It's about how do we take some of these things, songwriting, drama, working with our hands, and how do we ask the right questions and use them in such a way that brings glory to God, that brings other people a clearer picture of who God is and just how wonderful he is. And so tonight you're invited to come back at 7:30 and see what these young ladies have been working on all day, all afternoon, as they create, as they work, as they practice. And there's going to be some demonstration and show. And it's open to everyone tonight. 7:30 to 8:30, you can come out, go into the tent, and the girls are going to come up and share the various things that they worked on this Sabbath together. So, in conclusion this morning, in summary, God chooses whom he gives gifts to. Talked about that, right? God gives us knowledge and skill and ability and craftsmanship. God gives a wide variety of creative gifts, and God's gifts have a purpose. So what should our response be to this morning? Well, we need to thank God for the creative gifts he's given us, right? Amen. We need to use and develop our creative gifts and engage all of our life for God's glory. Amen. You know, every person here has some creative gifts. Every person. Amen. Maybe you're a gifted musician or a mechanic, or a teacher, or a mountain bike rider, right? Or a landscaper, or a quilter, or a preacher. God wants to use your gifts for his glory. He doesn't want you to waste them or hoard them. He wants you to use them to benefit those around you. Our church needs them. Your family needs them. And your friends need your creative gifts too. You have gifts that no one else has. So, as the sermon title says, stop making excuses and start creating things. I challenge you this morning. Let us pray. Father, as we go through life, we see so much in the world around us, so many beautiful things, so many wonderful things. And Lord, we recognize this morning that you are the creator of all things. And you've given us talents and abilities to create, to be artistic, to use our language in powerful ways. Father, I thank you so much for every gift you've given us. And Father, as we explore our gifts more, our artistic abilities, our ability to create, Father, may we keep in mind that you're behind it, that you're the author and the finisher of it. And Father, we want to use those creative abilities for your glory and for your honor, so that when people look at us, whether it's making bread, whether it's preaching, whether it's riding bikes, whether it's quilting, painting. People can say, wow, you serve a mighty God. That's beautiful. Father, I thank you so much for every person here. And as we continue to worship this morning, Father, I just thank you for your presence in advance for what you're doing and going to do. In Jesus' name I pray.